Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mary Holmes here. Hi, Mary.
Hi, JC.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah. What are we talking about today? You've been having a look at some of the... There's been a bit of volatility in the markets, hasn't there?
Yeah, there has. And someone sent me an email the other day saying that on the fear and greed scale, you know, there's that some people in America look at, we're right down on the fear scale, fear end of the
scale. I don't know that scale. What does that mean?
Oh, it's sort of measuring market sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on what's happened in the markets lately, and you know they reckon when you go to greed, that means that the markets have gone way up and everybody's very keen.
Yeah.
And fear is when the markets have gone down, and that's when you should buy. Of course, when the markets have gone down, you should sell when the markets have gone up if you're going to be in there trading.
Yeah.
But I maintain that you just actually just keep buying steadily regardless, and that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I think you got a taxi driver story to begin.
Oh yes, that was. I was down in Wellington just a while back, and got chatting to the taxi driver, and he was telling me about a friend of his who, I think, was also a taxi driver, and he just kept putting money steadily into the share market, like $100 a month or something like that. I don't know how much. But he retired very young with $1 million because he just, by just steadily doing that over the years, he, it must have been more than $100 a month, I suppose. But the point was that this guy said, God, I wish I'd done it. You know, when the markets were looking bad, I didn't want to get into them. And that's very common reaction.
That's always been your advice, but actually now you've got some research to back you up.
Yes. Sharesies has just issued some research, and one of the things they found was that they divided their investors into regular investors and casual investors. And the regular ones were the ones that put in the same amount of money on a steady basis. Quite often they reckoned every payday or monthly or whatever.
Mm.
And they tended to go into the same investments. They kept putting more money into the same investments. More than half of them were putting it into funds. And I said, oh, which funds? And they said mostly Smart Shares and Pathfinder funds were the ones that were popular. Pathfinder funds are not perhaps so well known. They tend to be ethical investments.
Mm. Is that a brand?
It's a KiwiSaver provider.
Yeah.
And Smart Shares is an exchange traded fund, so they're ones that trade on the stock exchange. Mm. But anyway, it was just interesting that those were very much the dominant investments of these regular investors.
I think that's when I started following you, Mary, when Smart Shares were launched. That would have been maybe early 2000s, late 90s, and it was called the FONS back then.
That's right. FNZ. There was WINS and FONS.
Yeah,
there's
a big marketing campaign. I thought, this sounds quite good, but I need a bit of advice on this. And I think that's when I started reading your column.
I was very excited.
You were keen on it,
Because I'd been in those funds when I lived in America. The index funds we're basically talking about. And finally, New Zealand got some. In the 90s, I think you're right, it was then. Yes, yeah. And so now we've got Smart Shares, one of the dominant index fund providers. So these regular investors in Sharesies that use Sharesies to buy and sell their shares, they also sometimes invested in individual shares just by the way, and the most common one was Air New Zealand, which I think is...
it's a big brand, you know.
And, that's right.
Good associations,
People figure it's not going to go broke.
Yeah.
And these ones buy much more often than they sell, these regular investors. So they're putting the same amount in on a regular basis and they're not selling very often at all. They mostly buy. And so compared with the casual investors, which are in and out, they're buying and they're selling. And they're buying a lot of different investments, perhaps depending on what they've read in the papers or whatever.
Mm.
And the regular investors have done much better. They have higher average returns and increasingly so over the longer the period, the bigger the gap between how well the regular investors do and the casual investors. And so the gap is now 5 to 7 percentage points. And I don't know, so in other words, it's about 6 percentage points difference between these regular ones and the casual ones and the returns they've got. So I, of course, said, well, how big are these returns? And they said, oh, that's commercially sensitive, and wouldn't tell me. So I don't know. But I mean, maybe it's, for example, 9% for the regulars versus 3% for the casuals, or it could be that it's a bit negative lately, and that's why they didn't want to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. But the point is they do much better. The regular investors are doing much better.
Why?
Yeah, it's because they're putting the same amount in on a regular basis, regardless of what's happening in the markets. And that's called dollar cost averaging, which you and I have talked about, but it was a few years ago. I don't like the expression dollar cost averaging because I think, what does that mean? It's not intuitive. But so goodness knows what the... So forget about the name.
You need to come up with your own name for it.
Yeah, I do. All right, I'll think about that. But they, it works with if any investment where there's fluctuating values. So that would be shares, the values go up and down. It would be funds that hold shares or funds that hold property. So it wouldn't be term deposits and things like that. It's investments where the value is going up and down. So it applies to nearly all KiwiSaver funds. The very, very lowest risk ones, the values don't tend to fluctuate much, although they have lately a bit, even those. And non-KiwiSaver funds it applies to as well as individual shares. So anything that's got a fluctuating value. And what happens is that without you realising what's going on necessarily, you're buying more shares or units when they're cheaper. So a very simple example would be if you were putting $100 a week in or $100 a month, when the price of the shares or the units is $20, your $100 will get you $5.
Yeah.
And when the price is $10, your $100 will get you $10.
Yeah.
And so basically you're getting more when they're cheap and fewer when they're expensive.
Yeah.
And that means that your average price is lower than the market average price because you buy more when they're cheap.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not buying one at $20 and one at $10
that's
and
right.
one at $5. You're buying more when the price is lower.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. So that sort of...
I think you have explained it to me before, but I've just got it.
Yeah. And it happens... Anyone who's listening and says, I don't know, I can't follow this, it doesn't matter. It happens whether you understand what's going on or not.
Yeah.
The point is just putting the same amount in on a regular basis and ignore what's happening in the markets. Don't take any notice of it. So for KiwiSavers who are employees, it's happening automatically for them because they're getting, let's say, 3% of their pay going into the funds, whatever's happening in the markets. If you're not an employee and you're in KiwiSaver, it's a good idea. Note this, Jesse, because I think you're a bit naughty about this. Yeah, it's a good
idea. I really screwed it up this year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Don't tell me you didn't get it in at all.
No, but I got. Okay, what we're talking about is
yes.
You're meant to put $1,000 into your KiwiSaver each year in order to guarantee the $500 that the government gives you back. They give 50 cents for every dollar you put in. So I wind Mary up because each year I put the $1,000 in on the last possible day to qualify for the
$500. Yeah.
Well, this year I was organised. I did it 2 weeks before the deadline and I proudly said to my wife, hey, I put $1,000 in for each of us to get the $500. And she said, but I've been a wage earner this year. I've already put in my $1,000.
Oh. Oh, that's not so terrible.
So now I had to put $1,000 that I didn't mean to in there.
But that's not so terrible because it's in KiwiSaver and it'll earn
good returns.
Yeah,
it'd be better paying off my mortgage though.
Yeah, well, yes, but yeah, it's not terrible.
I would have at least liked the option, Mary, rather than to do it by mistake.
Just by the way, it's actually, strictly speaking, $1,042 a year to get the $521, but it's near enough to $1,000, near enough to $1,000. So what I would advocate Jesse does is put $87 a month instead of the $1,042 a year, because then you're getting this dollar cost averaging.
Oh, yeah,
you're
that's
putting
good,
it in,
good point, yeah.
Putting it in, and when the markets are down, your $87 is getting you more units. And when the market is up, it's getting you not so many units.
Is it possible that sometimes I'll win and sometimes I'll lose? And over time that will average out to be a dollar cost average anyway?
Well, you're putting it every year as opposed to once every 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, once every 10 years isn't going to work with a government contribution anyway. So, yeah, no, that's a pretty poor argument, I'd say. I think, or you can do $20 a week.
Yeah.
That's another way to do it. And, you know, one of the advantages of that is that it's you don't even notice it. If you've got $20 a week coming out of your account, it's, mm-hmm. well, you might notice it, but it's not very painful.
For most people, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yes. So it's not just KiwiSaver, though. I'm talking, you know, any other investment you might be doing extra into KiwiSaver, or you might be doing other investments. As long as the value of them fluctuates, then you are dollar cost averaging, whether or not you know it. It also applies when you're moving from one risk level to another. So if you're in KiwiSaver and you're getting closer to the time you're going to spend the money, either on a first home or in retirement, so you're reducing your risk, you're moving. Now, I don't like people doing this because the markets have gone down, but I do like people doing it if they're getting closer to spending the money.
Yeah.
So they're moving their money from a growth fund or a balanced fund or something into a conservative fund. And people say to me, well, should I do that now or should I wait a bit because, you know, the prices might move in a way that would favour me. And I usually say, I'll perhaps move it in, say, three or four lots, you know, and do it once a month for 3 or 4 months.
Mm.
And then you do actually dollar cost average that move, if you see what I mean. Or if you were transferring money between countries, people, so the foreign exchange rate varies. I mean, that's also something else that's fluctuating in value, value of the Kiwi dollar, for example. Do it in 3 or 4 lots. Don't muck around for too long, but just because you want to get on and do it, you know. But doing it over, say, 3 lots over 3 months is a good idea. A couple of other advantages of it. If you set up an automatic transfer to do this, which for you would be out of your bank account into your KiwiSaver, for example, then you don't forget it and it's easier to budget. It's just sort of all... Whereas, I mean, you must admit that even you, Jesse, on your huge income, must notice putting $1,000 in.
It hurts.
In a lump sum. Whereas if you did 20 a week, you probably wouldn't really notice it.
I feel very victimised by this week's topic.
It's you who have confessed to this, and you're too gleeful when you tell me you've been naughty.
Can you help Helen out? She says, Mary, do you still get the government contribution to KiwiSaver when your contributions are voluntary and not based on work? I think she means not put through the work system.
Yeah, anybody, whether they work or not, anybody at all, if you get your $1,042 and the government will give you $521, if you get $20 in a year, the government will give you $10, so it's half of what you've put in. Yeah, and it's nothing to do with whether you're working or not.
You've got to be between 18 and 65 too.
Absolutely, very good point, yes. Oh. Under 18s don't get it, over 65s don't get it. But so everybody else should be really making the most and getting it every year because it's, you know, it's $521. I mean, the other big advantage of it all is that you can just ignore market movements, and that's what I've done all my adult life, really, because I first learned about this stuff when I was at the University of Chicago in the 70s. Just keep steadily putting your money in, and you don't have to worry about when the share markets go up or down. You just take a mild interest in it, perhaps, but it's not really affecting your decisions to do anything. So it's actually a lazy way of doing it.
And in fact, you often say, avoid a volatile fund or a volatile investment strategy if you don't have the nerves for it. But you could think about it another way and say, actually, if you get your head around it properly, this is a very zen way to invest.
Yes, it is. It's sort of, that's right. And you can even say when prices go down, you can say, oh, good, my $100 a month gets me more units this month.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, of course, you're not happy because the bulk of your money that's already in there,
mm-hmm.
its value has dropped. But, there is a little brightener in it, in that your regular contribution is
if you're properly diversified, and if you believe in the markets, and, 2,000 years of markets have shown this, it will eventually go up again. So unless you're planning to sell it all off and take the cash, which hopefully you're not planning to do, because you wouldn't be in shares anyway. I'm learning.
Yeah, that's right. By the time you're getting to the point of spending it, you've got it into lower risk. Just one final point about it. If you've got a lump sum to deposit into KiwiSaver or into any other investment, the question then is, should you dribble that out over months or put it all in at once? And the answer to that is there's no actually right answer, because in the meantime, your money's probably sitting in a bank account, and in most market conditions, not so much at the moment, most market conditions it's going to earn less in the bank account than it is if it's been put into an investment. But nonetheless, it's still quite good to just do three or four different lots, say a month apart, which I was talking about before, because otherwise you can get terribly bad luck and put the whole lot in at just the wrong time, right when the prices are high.
But you wouldn't do it every 6 months, because otherwise that extra money's just sitting there doing nothing.
That's
I suppose
right.
You could have it in a term deposit, mate.
Yes, yeah. And as I was saying, these days that does you quite well in a term deposit, but usually term deposit interest rates will go down sometime in the next few years. I'm not saying they won't necessarily go up a wee bit more in the meantime, but they're not usually anywhere near the returns you get in, say, a KiwiSaver fund. And something people forget is term deposits, that's taxed. So the money you put in a term deposit that's paying you 6% is probably only really paying you 4%, depending on your tax rate.
Can we do 2 minutes of quick fire?
Sure, yeah.
Maybe 90 seconds. What is the cut-off date, please, for KiwiSaver contributions?
It's January the 30th. Oh, sorry, June the 30th. Yep. June the 30th,
Yep, someone else. Doesn't IRD hold on to your KiwiSaver money and only put it across every 3 months?
It's not that bad. It can be up to 2 months. That issue's actually come up in my Herald column recently.
Okay.
And then someone wrote into me and said, no, mine gets in there within a few days. And I said, he works for a government department, so that could have something to do with it. I said, well, how do you know that it's not 2 months ago's money that's just come in? And he said, because I'm on an irregular income, and so I've followed it through. So it seems to vary hugely, but it can take a few months. A couple of months, yeah.
Okay, and one final message. Where is my mouse? Laura says, I adore Mary. Her advice has changed my life, and I'll be forever grateful to RNZ for giving her a platform. Thank you heaps.
Oh, that's
so lovely. Is that a nice one to finish with?
That's lovely. Thank you very much, Laura.
Thanks.
That's kind.
See you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, see you, Jessie.
Time for headlines.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.